Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's April 10th. We are in our redemption class, our Shmos class, and because we are, this is our last class before Pesach, we are going to do a specific Pesach theme this evening, which ties right in, of course, with what we're learning, because we're learning all about slavery in Egypt and the eventual redemption. But this will be focused primarily on the Seder night. Now, one of the most common issues that comes up with the Seder night is how late it is. The Seder night begins very late because we have to wait until sundown before beginning the Seder, because, as we all know, Jewish holidays always start at night. So we need to wait until it's nighttime. So here in Atlanta, since we've already changed the clocks, and we're always late over here, so it's very, very late that first night of Pesach, next Monday night. And then it just takes a long time to get through the Haggadah with all of the different things that have to be done. By the time you actually eat the meal of Shulchan Aruch, you're really late. And depending on how much time you spent on Magid, on the Haggadah, it can be very, very late at night. And this is very difficult. It's difficult for anybody, certainly with the children, it's difficult. It's difficult not just for children, but for adults as well, who aren't used to staying up so late. And people who have relatives who they share their Seder with, either they attend their relative Seder or they have their relatives come to them for the Seder, and the relatives aren't used to that kind of Seder, it can become a difficult situation. So it's a strange type of thing that we have on Seder night, that everything is so late. We don't usually have that. Friday night, we can have an early Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Even these days when sunset is so late, we can still start Shabbos earlier and have a pleasant meal a little bit earlier in the day, and more what we would call a normal time. And here, with Seder, with Pesach, it's difficult. Now, the truth is that the Seder presents a funny type of situation regarding nighttime. If you think through mitzvos that we have in the Torah that are time-bound, I'm not talking about mitzvos that are all the time. Honor your parents has nothing to do with a particular time of the year. But mitzvos that do have to do with the time of year, if they're not mitzvos that take an entire 24-hour period, for example, Yom Kippur, which is a mitzvah only once a year, but it's an entire 24-hour period. So it's the entire night and day. But if it's not an entire 24-hour period, it is limited to one specific time frame. If you think through the vast majority, more than 90% of mitzvos, are daytime mitzvos. It's very unusual for the Torah to require a nighttime mitzvah. Think about it. Shofar has to be done during the day. You can't fulfill your obligation of listening to the shofar on Rosh Hashanah at night. You have to hear it during the day. You just mentioned Bris Milah. Milah is done during the day on the eighth day. It's during the day, not at night. Picking up the Lulav and Esrog, is during the day. If you pick it up at night, you have not fulfilled the obligation. It must be done during the day. Most mitzvos are daytime mitzvos, not nighttime mitzvos, unless it's a mitzvah which is both night and day. So, for example, sitting in the sukkah is at night, but it's also during the day. It's the whole time. It's not only one specific time. But most mitzvos are daytime mitzvos.
Including
tefillin. Since this is a daytime mitzvah, tefillin is a daytime mitzvah. Most mitzvos are daytime mitzvos. It's strange to have a nighttime mitzvah. Now, we do have some exceptions. For example, Hanukkah, which is not a Torah mitzvah, it's a Rabbanon mitzvah. It was legislated by the sages. That's a nighttime mitzvah to light the menorah. But that makes sense to us because the whole point of the menorah is to see the light. So at nighttime is when it's going to be done. Checking for chametz, which is done the night before Pesach, this year on Sunday night. That's specifically a nighttime mitzvah, again, legislated by the Rabbanon. But the Gemara says why. The Gemara itself tells us the reason why that is a nighttime mitzvah is because a pinpoint of light, when you're looking for chametz, is more noticeable at night than during the day. During the day, you'll look into a room and not notice every single detail of the room. You just, it's the whole room, because it's all light. But if you have a dark room and a flashlight or a candle, you will notice every detail as you move around the room. And so that's why it's a nighttime mitzvah. So we have exceptions, but those exceptions are ones that have reasons for why they're at night. It makes sense. It's logical. But a mitzvah that doesn't have a particular reason of whether it should be day or night is a daytime mitzvah. That's what we normally find. You mean they're going through the actually have to because they have to wait the full 7 days. That's the reason for that. So but the mitzvahs are generally daytime mitzvahs. Pesach is funny because the night of the Seder we perform several mitzvahs. We perform several mitzvahs the night of the Seder. We all think of we're just doing the Seder. We'll go through the Haggadah, go through it, but we are performing many mitzvahs that night. And many of them are only nighttime mitzvahs. So let's go through some of the mitzvahs that we do the night of the Seder. We drink 4 cups of wine. That is a mitzvah, to drink the 4 cups of wine. And when do we do it? At night. If you drink the 4 cups during the day, you have not fulfilled your obligation. It's at night. We eat matzah. That has to be done at night. Cannot be done, if you can eat matzah during the day, but you have not fulfilled your obligation. The obligation is to eat it at night. We eat maror, the bitter herbs. That is, again, a mitzvah which has to be done at night. If you want to eat bitter herbs during the day, gesundheit. You're welcome to do it. But you would not fulfill your obligation. The mitzvah is at night. There is the mitzvah of reciting the Hallel at the Seder. Reciting the Hallel. It's interesting. We have a mitzvah of reciting Hallel many times throughout the year. We recite Hallel on Shavuos, we recite Hallel on Sukkot, we recite Hallel on Hanukkah, but we even recite Hallel on Pesach Day. But there is a specific mitzvah to recite the Hallel at the Seder, Pesach night. Again, a nighttime mitzvah recitation of the Hallel. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling over the story of the Exodus, is a mitzvah, but it must be done at night. It's specifically at night. So we have many mitzvahs that we perform throughout the Seder. We're constantly doing a different mitzvah throughout the Seder, and they are all specifically nighttime mitzvahs. Very unusual on our calendar to have nighttime mitzvahs. So, how do we understand that? Why would it be that the Seder is specifically a nighttime mitzvah? Now, one could answer, a simple answer, what would be a very simple answer to that question? Why is the Seder a nighttime observance?
Hashem took us out at night.
Because He took us out at night. Right? Because the death of the firstborn happened in the middle of the night, b'chatzi alayla, at the middle of the night, the midpoint of the night, and that's when we became free. We didn't leave until the morning, but we were free at night. At night, the Egyptians were already yelling at us, get out, get out, get out, leave, 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 leave. So, the nighttime, we were already free. So the Exodus took place at night. And therefore, when we observe it, at night. That's very logical. But it really only begs the question. Because, why did the Exodus happen at night? Hashem could have killed the firstborn at any moment of the day. But Moshe comes into Paro and he says, I want you to know. You know when it's going to happen? At midnight. Not 12 midnight, but middle of the night. That's when it's going to happen. So Hashem picked the time to the moment of when it was going to happen. And he had Moshe tell Paro, that's when it's going to happen. And that's when it happened. And that's when we went free. He could have picked 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He could have picked 10 o'clock in the morning. The fact is, Hashem made it a nighttime miracle and made it, therefore, a nighttime observation. Why did Hashem choose the nighttime to make the miracle, which would then translate into our observance of the Seder to be at night?
Everybody would be home.
Okay. Okay, so you're saying the nighttime is better because that way they're all there.
Right.
Okay, good. You want to say the same thing?
No. I was going to say that the whole thing of having the Hashem saving us at night is this whole galus is compared to night.
Okay.
And Hashem wants to tell us that dafka, just when things are really, really bad in the galus, that's what we should be hoping for Hashem to save us.
Okay. Okay, good. You are both correct. Okay. Both of you are saying, okay. Excuse me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam
shehakol nehi
b'dvaro.
Amen. Amen. Would we let out with fire?
What's that?
Wasn't there fire in front of us?
Yeah, leading us out. Yeah, but it
must have been quite an impact.
Yeah, but it was during the day. We left during the day. We left in the morning.
Oh, right.
We didn't leave at night. Okay, so the two points that were made, one is very practical, which is that the death of the firstborn would have a stronger impact if it was when everybody was at home. The way that Moshe tells Paro is that there won't be any house, Asher Ein Shames, that there won't be a dead person there. Every household will have somebody dead in the house. That's what's going to happen. And that's what happened. Torah reports that's what happened. They were all screaming because there was someone in every household that died that night. If they're out in the fields and working, it's not going to have the same impact. So that is a very practical reason why it would be a nighttime miracle. Another point that is being made is that we know that the nighttime has a connection to galus. So I should say it the other way around. Galus, exile, is connected to nighttime. Whereas daytime is reminiscent of geula, of redemption. Nighttime, darkness, fear, that connotes exile. Whereas the bright morning, where a person feels more confident and isn't frightened, that is compared to geula, to redemption. When it comes to this question of nighttime, we know that the Torah tells us specifically about the night of the Makas Bechoros, the night when the firstborn were struck. And if you want to see the pasuk inside, the verse says explicitly, on page 358.
The Jews who want to stay inside. Bunch them off on other kinds.
On 358, the bottom of the page, Pasuk Membeis, verse 42. Leil Shimurim Hula Hashem. It is a night of anticipation, they translate it as, for Hashem. Lahotziyam Me'aretz Mitzrayim, to take them out of the land of Egypt. Hu Halayla Hazela Hashem. It is this night for Hashem. Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael Dorosam, a protection for all the children of Israel for their generations. This night was the night that was anticipated by Hashem to take us out of Egypt. Remember that Hashem told Abraham Avinu in the Bris Ben HaBesarim, in the covenant, he told him that your children will be slaves in a land that's not their own for 400 years, and then I will take them out. This was the night that Hashem was anticipating. From the fact that the Torah stresses the night of anticipation, Leil Shimurim, implies that Hashem specifically wanted it to be a nighttime redemption. It's true that what Herman said, that the striking of the firstborn was more dramatic at night when everybody was home. But the fact is, Hashem picked a final plague that would be more dramatic if everyone was home. He could have picked a different final plague. The fact is, he chose one which it was most dramatic if it happened at nighttime in the middle of the night. And that's when it happened. Because Hashem wanted this redemption to take place at night. Specifically at night. We know that the night of Pesach is considered to be Leil Shimurim. It is a night of protection. And because it's a night of protection, we have certain customs that we do at the Seder. Because it is a night of protection. What is that? What do we do at the Seder to show that it is a night of protection? We open the door. There are, people make a mistake. They think that they're opening the door to let in Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the Prophet. We know that it is true that Eliyahu HaNavi does come to visit everybody's Seder. And of course, all the adults shake the table to make it look like he's drinking from the cup. But we know that it's true that he comes. But Eliyahu HaNavi, who is a human being, but we know that Eliyahu HaNavi has a human form, and he has a spiritual form, because Eliyahu HaNavi, we know, went up to heaven in a chariot without dying. Eliyahu HaNavi is still alive. We know that he's still alive, but he takes different forms. Sometimes he's in a human form, and sometimes he is in some sort of spiritual form, where he's not limited by human, by physicality, by the requirement of space, of being in this particular place. Eliyahu can appear as a human being, and he can appear in a spiritual form. When he appears as a human being, you got to open the door to let him in, because he's a human being, like you and me. He's a regular human being. But when he appears as a spiritual, whatever it is, whatever form that is, he doesn't need the door being open. An angel doesn't need the door open in order to get into our homes. They're not limited by the physical space and the opening of a door and the closing of a door. So even though we do believe that Eliyahu HaNavi does visit each of our Sedarim, but he doesn't need the door open for him to get in. So why do we open the door? So the way it says it in the commentaries, we're opening the door to show that we believe, we trust in what the Torah says, that the night of Pesach is a night of protection. That it is not a night to be frightened. Normally at night, especially late at night, we're not going to open our front door and, you know, for the world to see. That's frightening. We lock our door at night. But no. Pesach night, we open our door and we say, we're not afraid. Because this is a night of protection. There are other customs that we have that aren't so well known. For example, when we go to sleep at night, where normally there is a several paragraphs of prayers to recite before going to sleep at night, and they are all for protection. That's the purpose of them. They are asking Hashem to protect us when we sleep, because when we sleep, we are more vulnerable. When we're awake, we can see what's going on, we can hear what's going on, we can sense what's going on. When we're asleep, we are more vulnerable. So we're frightened. So we read these paragraphs of prayer asking Hashem to protect us at night. But on the night of Pesach, it is inappropriate to say all those prayers, because we trust in Hashem that the night of Pesach, we don't need the extra protection. And one only has to say Shema, the one paragraph of Shema, and the bracha, the blessing of Hamapil. Only those two paragraphs. But the other paragraphs, we don't say the night of Pesach, because it is a night of protection. There's another, even less known custom. It is a custom, the night of Pesach, to not lock the door. You know that? It's a custom, the night of Pesach, when you go to sleep, after the Seder, to not lock the door. What I tell people is that if you're nervous leaving the door totally unlocked, don't lock it as much as you normally would. Meaning, if you normally have three locks, you know, whatever, then only lock two. Meaning, leave one thing off. Downgrade your normal elevated sense of protection that you have, because you don't need it. It's the night of Pesach.
You can open it on the second floor.
Okay. You can do that. Whatever it is, something to show that we're willing to go to sleep without worry, because it's the night of Pesach. Now, what does that mean, it's a night of protection? It's hard to understand that. Does that mean nothing bad could ever happen the night of Pesach? Unfortunately, we know that is not the case. Bad things have happened, unfortunately, on the night of Pesach. There was even a terrible bombing a number of years ago, the night of Pesach, in Israel, in one of the hotels that killed many people. Remember that? That was the night of Pesach. That's supposed to be a night of protection. How could that happen? It was a night of protection. The answer is that when it says in the Torah that it's a night of protection, the Torah does not mean to say that nothing bad could ever happen then. What the Torah means to say is this: the daytime is generally accepted to be a safer time. The nighttime is generally accepted to be a more dangerous time. At night, people will say to their children that they'll say, "Can we walk to a friend's house?" Yeah, you can walk to a friend's house during the day, not after it gets dark. No, you can't walk it. But it's the same. But I did it an hour ago. You let me do it. Why can't I do it? Because it's nighttime. We don't do it. During the day, a lot of people in their homes, when they're home during the day, won't lock their door during the day. Or if they do, they don't lock it as much. You know, one lock instead of two. At night, all kinds of locks, right? People are more nervous at night, justifiably so. The nighttime is considered to be a more dangerous time, which is true. It is. The Torah is saying that we think that in a calendar year, there are 365, we'll use the solar year, there's 365 days and 365 nights. The Torah is saying, no, you don't understand. There are actually 364 nights and 366 days. Because the night of Pesach is not night. The night of Pesach is day. That's what the Torah means when it says Leil Shimurim. It's a night of protection. It means that the night of Pesach, for all intents and purposes, as far as the heavens go and how things are working in the world down here, it is considered to be as if it were a daytime. It is like the daytime. We are expected on the night of Pesach to treat it as if it were day. We are as protected on the night of Pesach as if it were day. Does that mean nothing bad could happen? No, because unfortunately bad things happen during the day too. But there will not be bad things that will happen the night of Pesach because it is nighttime. Bad things may happen, God forbid, but not because it's dark. Not because of the night. You're not going to get hurt because it's nighttime. We treat Pesach night like it's a daytime. So we don't lock the doors the same way. We're willing to open the door in the middle of the Seder like we would in the middle of the day. And there are mitzvos that are specific to the night of Pesach, even though we started out by saying mitzvos are usually only during the day. The night of Pesach is a day. It's considered like it's the daytime. Hashem is transforming the night of Pesach to be as if it were a daytime. That's how we observe Pesach. If you want to think of it as a flip side, it is likely that Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed twice, the first and second temples were destroyed on Tisha B'Av, and we know that on Tisha B'Av we are uneasy with the day of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a frightening time. It would seem that then the day of Tisha B'Av is treated like a night. There are prayers that we don't say in the morning of Tisha B'Av, that we wait till the afternoon because we're observing it as if it were still nighttime. The day of Tisha B'Av itself might be the flip side of the first day of Pesach. And it is not by chance that the same day of the week that the first day of Pesach falls out on, that's the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. This year, Pesach starts on a Monday night, Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. The first day of the week, the first day of Pesach is a Tuesday, Monday night, Tuesday. Tisha B'Av, if Mashiach does not come beforehand, will be, unfortunately, if it happens, it'll be on a Monday night, Tuesday. Same thing. Every year it's the same. They are mirror images of each other. So Pesach night is actually a day. On Pesach, the first day of Pesach, the 15th of Nisan, it's 24 hours of daylight. It's like you're in the North Pole in the middle of the summer. It's a 24-hour daylight. That's what it is. That's how we treat it, even though it's dark outside. What do you mean? It's dark. No. It's a daytime. It's day. That explains the mitzvot. That explains our sense of protection, our sense of safety. It's a daytime, even though it looks like it's a nighttime. Why is this? So now we get to what Chani brought up before. We know that the galus, that the exile, is compared to night. Now there's two ways of dealing with the exile. It's the nighttime. So what do? We wait for the end of the exile. If you're going to compare the exile to nighttime, then we are waiting for
daytime.
We're waiting for the morning. We wait for Mashiach to come. We're waiting for the morning. That's what we're doing. Let the night end, let the day begin. We want the night to pass, we want the day to start. We want the exile to end, we want time of redemption to begin. We want Mashiach to come, we want the third temple. That's how we, one way of thinking about it. The other way of thinking about it is, we want the night to be transformed into day. We want the exile to be flipped, to be transformed into redemption. Not that the exile ends and redemption begins, but rather the exile itself is turned on its head and becomes redemption. Similar to what happened with the Purim story, where you had a terrible, terrible situation, and then in the blink of an eye, it flipped over and became a wonderful, wonderful holiday. That is the concept of the night turning into day. Not waiting till morning when finally the night is over, now we can have the daytime, but the night itself turning into day. That is the concept that the Torah is presenting to us with the night of Pesach. I want to show you now in the Haggadah something that we say the first night of Pesach, and I hope that now, this year, it will be more meaningful for all of us. Look towards the end of the Haggadah in Mirza. All the way at the end of the Haggadah, the last section of the Haggadah. On page 52 and 53. This is said the first night. At the second Seder, we say the song on the next page, on page 54 and 55. But this one is only said the first night. And the title is, Uvechein Vayhi Bachatzi HaLaila, It Came to Pass at Midnight. And what the author of this particular poem does is he chronicles all of the miracles that took place specifically at night. He goes through, obviously Pesach is one of them, but he goes through. And why is he doing this? Because he wants to show us examples of the night being transformed into day, where we find that what appeared to be terrible, horrible, frightening, was actually wonderful and a redemption. He goes through, let's go through this line by line. I'll read the Hebrew. You can read along in English as well. Azrov Nisim Yiflesa Balayla, then you did many miracles at night. Barosh Ashmeros Zehalayla, at the first watch of this night, meaning they had different watchmen watching at different times of the night. Ger Tzedek Nitzachto Kenechlak Lo Layla, the Ger Tzedek, which refers to Avraham Avinu, you had him win his battle when the night was split in half. We learned this in Parashat Lech Lecha, when Avraham fought against the four kings who had kidnapped Lot. When he defeated them in the middle of the night. That's when he defeated them. It was nighttime when Avraham chased them down and defeated them, which was highly unusual. Battles were only fought during the day when you could see each other. Avraham fought them at night and defeated them. That was a miracle that took place. Vayehi b'chatzi halayla, that took place at midnight. Danta melech Geror b'chalom halayla, you judged the king of Geror, the king of the Plishtim, with a dream at night. This is when, again, Avraham went to the Plishtim, and remember, Yeah. And the and Avimelech took Sarah, and then Hashem appeared to Avimelech in the middle of the night and told him, you're about to die because you took this woman. And you better go and beg her husband to daven for you, because if you don't, you're going to die. When did Hashem do that? In the middle of the night. He frightened Avimelech and threatened Avimelech in the middle of the night. In other words, he saved Sarah in the middle of the night. Hifchadata Arami ve'emesh laila. You frightened the Arami, which is Lavan, in the middle of the night. Lavan, when he caught up with Yaakov, Yaakov was running away. We learned this as well. The end of Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov was running away from Lavan. Lavan caught up with him. And now he was ready to attack Yaakov. And in the middle of the night, Hashem appears to Lavan. And he says, you better be careful. Don't you mess with Yaakov. That's what Hashem told Lavan. When did he do it? In the middle of the night. Vayasar Yisrael. Vayashar Yisrael lamalach vayuchal olayla. And the Yaakov fought and overcame the angel. When was that? In Parshas Vayishlach, in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, he had the battle with the angel of Esav. That all took place in the middle of the night. Vayhi b'chatzi alayla. Zera b'chorei pasros machatza b'chatzi alayla. This is referring to the Egyptians, that the seed of Pasros, which was another name for Egypt, that they were the firstborn, they were killed in the middle of the night. They didn't find their army, their strength, when they woke up in the middle of the night. They got up and they found all the firstborn dead. Tisas negid charoshes silisa b'chokfei laila. The swift armies, I'm translating using the English here, these are hard words. The swift armies of the prince of charoshes, you crushed with the stars of night. This is referring to the battle that Deborah has, and Barak, that they have with Sisera, and he has a massive army, larger than the Egyptian army, and Hashem brings he gives Barak strength to defeat them with just a few thousand soldiers. He's able to defeat the entire army of Sisera, but when he does so, he uses the stars of night. It says in the Song of Devorah, the Shiras Devorah, the Song of Deborah, it says that the fire from the stars came down and burned the opposing army. Also using the nighttime. Yo'atz mecharef menofef ivui. The blasphemer schemed to raise his hand menacingly. This is referring to the Sancheirev, when he was ready to conquer Yerushalayim. And then it says, Hovashta figarov balayla. You killed out his army. It says over here, you made his corpses rot. Okay. At night. So, you killed him at night. In the middle of the night, Hashem brought an angel against the massive army of Sancheirev and decimated it. Kara Baal Umatsavo B'ishon Laila. Baal, he says on the side here, which is a Babylonian pagan, and it fell in the black of night. Le'ish chamudos nigla raz chazos laila. Here we're learning this on Wednesday nights. To the beloved man Daniel was revealed the secret of visions at night. All of these things took place at night, and many of them took place Pesach night, specifically. Mistaker b'chlei kodesh ne'arak bo balayla. The one who guzzled out of the sacred vessels, referring to Belshazzar, that he had the chutzpah to use the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash of the temple and made a party. He was killed that night. Noshami bar arayos poser b'yitose laila. The one who was saved from the lion's pit, meaning again, Daniel, that he was able to interpret the terrors of the night. Sina natara gagi, the chasav svarim laila. Hatred was born by the Agagi, which is Haman, and he wrote decrees at nighttime to destroy the Jews. You aroused your triumph over him, meaning over Haman, by disturbing the sleep of Achashverosh. When was that? In the middle of the night. That's when it happened. That was also on one of the nights of Pesach. Pura sidroch l'shomer mami laila. Now, until here, till the word pura, till there, we have recounted many things that happened in our history at night. From here on in, the poet is now switching to beseeching Hashem to bring miracles again. So, pura sidroch l'shomer mami laila. You will tread a winepress for him who cries out. Meaning that you will, there's two ways of understanding this. The way they understand it here in this translation is that you will tread a winepress, which means you'll push, you'll crush grapes to make wine for a peace drink after a victory to save the one who cries out, which is Israel. Sarach kashomer v'sach asamokha v'gam laila. Our guardian, what will be, like a guardian, you will call out in response, the morning has come as well as the night. Karev yom asher hu lo yom v'lo laila. Bring close the day that is neither day nor night. Meaning bring the future time, which is neither day nor night. Yes. Ram hoda ki lecha hayom af lecha halayla. Most high make it known that yours are both the day and the night. Shomim hafkeid liyircha kol hayom v'chol halayla. Appoint watchmen over your city all day and all night. To'ir k'or yom cheshkas laila. Illuminate like the light of the day, the darkness of night. This last paragraph is the paragraph that is emphasizing the point that we're making this evening. That we want Hashem to show that the day is His, but so is the night. It is not that the galus, that the exile, which is nighttime, is the time when Hashem is not in control. And we're waiting for that time when Hashem will reassert Himself and take control. No, Hashem is in control at night as well. The day is His, but so is the night. We may not see Him, we may not notice Him, but He is fully in control at night, just as He is during the day. And we want Him to light up, like the light of the day, the darkness of the night. Transform the night into day.
Is that what it means when it says Asa Boker? What does that mean? Asa Boker v'gam laila. What is that, like, straight
translation? Well, you have to look in Yeshaya. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya.
Yeah.
It's referring over there. It literally means the day has come and so has the night.
Uh-huh.
But it means the night and the day have passed. But it's, again, referring over there to the coming of Mashiach. What's that?
Beautiful poem.
It is very beautiful. And the thrust of this whole prayer here is to transform the night into the day by mentioning all the other times that it happened in our history and by asking Hashem to do so again. When Mashiach does come, and maybe speedily in our days, there, it seems, from the way that this was written, it seems that a similar thing is going to happen. That Hashem is not going to simply wait till morning, but we want Him to transform the night into day. We know that there is a deadline for when Mashiach has to come. We may not know when that deadline is, but we know there is a deadline. There's a time after which Mashiach cannot come later. He must come by that time. We also know that we can hasten His arrival. By acting properly, Mashiach can be brought earlier. We are asking that we don't want to wait to the last minute. We don't want to wait until the night is over and then Mashiach will come. We want Mashiach to come in the middle of the night, while it is still nighttime. We want Mashiach to come. The reason why the death of the firstborn takes place at midnight, why not at 10, if it has to be at night, why not 10 o'clock at night, 4 o'clock in the morning, which is also nighttime? Why midnight? Because midnight is the dead of night. It is the point furthest from the day, furthest from the previous day, furthest from the next day. It is as night can be. And at that moment, that's when Hashem struck the firstborn. He showed the Egyptians, I am always here. You think that when the Jews are in exile, which is nighttime, when the Jews are your slaves, which is nighttime, that I'm not around. I'm out playing golf.
Yeah.
I'm busy. I'm not involved. It's not so. I am fully 100% involved every single moment, even when it doesn't appear that I am. And even in the dead of night, I'm fully and completely in control and fully and completely involved. And therefore, he strikes the firstborn at that moment, not a moment earlier, not a moment later, to show complete mastery, not only of the day, but of the night. Hashem is in complete control. And we ask, we say, on the night of Pesach, we say, Hashem, we know that this is true. We know it's not only the night of Pesach when you are in control. You are in control all the time. But the night of Pesach is when we see it most. That's when we have mitzvos during the day. That's when Hashem brought miracles. We have mitzvos, excuse me, at night that are normally during the day. Hashem brought miracles at night, which are normally during the day. Hashem has us act as if it were a daytime. And we beseech Hashem in the merit of the fact that we are willing to be fully trusting in you and fully confident in you. In that merit, bring Mashiach right away. Let's go back to that cup of Eliyahu HaNavi. Again, something which is misunderstood. We pour a cup, a fifth cup. We drink four cups, we pour a fifth cup. So we call it the cup of Eliyahu. So we like to believe he takes a drink from the cup. But that's fanciful. He really does not take a drink from the cup. As much as we want to tell the kids that he does, he doesn't. The reason he does is, again, he's in his spiritual form. Angels don't have to drink. They don't have to eat. Eliyahu HaNavi in his spiritual form does not eat or drink. He does visit the Seder, that we know. He does visit the Seder. But he doesn't have to drink. So why do we pour the cup? Is it just to welcome him? What's that?
Cup of
Gula. Cup of Gula. What the commentary say is that the cup is the cup of the Geula, the cup of redemption. We drink four cups to remind ourselves of what Hashem did so many years ago. The fifth cup is our conviction that we are going to drink a fifth cup. There's going to be a fifth cup speedily and in our days when Hashem will come and he will redeem us again. And there will be a fifth cup. We call it...
That's four Lashonos of Geula, right?
That's four Lashonos of Geula, right.
The Lekachti
V'Gal.
But the fifth cup is Vehevesi.
Well, that's what some want to say. Some want to say that. It's Vehevesi, correct. So, but it's to show that that we are waiting for another redemption when that fifth cup will be drunk. And we call it the cup of Eliyahu because we know that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi is supposed to come to herald the Mashiach, to announce the Mashiach. So he is supposed to come and, in his human form and announce to us, listen, my fellow Jews, Mashiach is about to come. We don't know how that's going to happen, but it's supposed to happen. And we call it the cup of Eliyahu HaNavi. And the reason why we pour it on the Pesach night is because we firmly believe that in our observing Pesach properly and our conviction that Hashem is going to protect us on this night, and the night is really a day, that in that merit, Mashiach will come. This line here in the poem about pressing the wine, you will tread a winepress in peace after victory for him who cries out, Israel, our guardian, what will be of this night? In other words, you're going to save us, and you're going to press the wine for a cup of wine, a victory cup, a cup of redemption. That's the fifth cup that we pour at the Seder. That's the cup of Eliyahu HaNavi, the cup of Elijah, the prophet. It is because we have conviction that Mashiach will come. And we hope he will come that night. Of all the days of the year, the most auspicious time for Mashiach to come is in Nisan, is this month. In the month of Nisan. Because the Gemara says, B'Nisan Nigalu, we were redeemed in Nisan, way back when, B'Nisan Asidin Lihigalos. That in Nisan, we will be redeemed again. Because we were Nigalu then, we were redeemed then, we were redeemed again in Nisan. Yeah.
Rabbi Shlomo Rizkin says something very nice. It's really for the Pesach night. It's a thought for everyone. That the reason the challah is divided, you have challah before you start the meal, and you have, then you finish challah at the end. He said the first challah is talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The second challah is time of Mashiach.
Very nice. Very nice. We have both in the Seder. In the Seder, we talk about the past, and we also dream about the future. That's also, both are going on in the Seder.
One has to eat the Korban Pesach, the Afikoman by Chatzos. But normally, the Korbanos you eat during the daytime. Is that why?
No, you can eat a Korban at night. You can eat a Korban at night. The Korban is usually brought during the day, which so is the Korban Pesach. It's eaten at night. But the difference is that a Korban Pesach, you have to sing challah while eating it. That's why we have challah at the Seder. But challah is normally a daytime mitzvah. It's never a nighttime mitzvah except for the night of Pesach. It's the only time that it is a nighttime mitzvah. The same theme of the night turning into it, the day.
Appears to be directly involved, not his angels, not.
Well, during at nighttime
like
we
an outstretched hand.
At nighttime it appears like we're helpless, like we don't have Hashem to help us, and we are saying that no, that's not the case. That Hashem is fully involved in the middle of the night. The Seder night, we are supposed to see ourselves as if we ourselves left Egypt. Chayav adam liros es atzmo ki ilu hu yatzam im Mitzrayim. A person is obligated to see themselves as if they themselves left Egypt. When we give it over to our children, we're not supposed to be telling them a story that happened long ago. We're supposed to be telling it to them in an animated way, as if we ourselves were there. That's the way one is supposed to be saying over the story the night of the Seder. It's not easy to do that, but that's what one is meant to do. Some people have the custom to try and act it out. They take the matzah, put it on their shoulder, and they walk out. Right? Some people do that. But we're trying to actually feel that we were there, and we actually went out of Egypt. This is not simply to be able to fully appreciate it. Of course, the more you feel you were there, the more you can appreciate it. But that's not the only reason for it. It is also because we are fervently hoping that this is going to happen again, and we will be there. And perhaps even this year, we are hoping that the same way our ancestors were redeemed from Egypt all those years ago, we too are going to be redeemed now. And we also will exit the exile, and we will go to Israel fully, the way it's meant to be, the way it's meant to be with the king and with the temple and everything the way it's meant to be. So we are enacting the past and the future at the same time. We are both, when we are leaning and we are drinking those cups of wine, we are acting as free people, cherus, both because we are reenacting what happened then and because we are practicing, so to speak, for the future. We're doing both at the same time at the Seder. And what you said is true, that the parts before the meal tend to focus on the past, the parts after the meal tend to focus on the future, and that is true, that we do find that. That is the idea of the nighttime, which is really daytime. Our sages tell us, the Gemara says that, the Chumash itself says, that we're obligated to listen to our sages. We're obligated to listen to what the sages say. Even if it doesn't seem to make sense to us, we have to accept what they say. And when the Gemara talks about this, the Gemara says, Afilu hu omer, even if the sage says, Al yamin shehu smol, v'al smol shehu yamin, that right is left and left is right, we still have to listen. And then the other example is, Afilu hu omer, even if he says, al yom shehu laila, ve'al laila shehu yom, he says that day is night, and night is day, we have to listen. He points outside, and he says, it is now daytime. And you look outside, it's dark outside. What are you talking about? It's nighttime. No, it's daytime. He points outside and says, it's nighttime. We just say, what do you mean? It's bright as day. It's middle of the day. What do you mean? No, it's nighttime. We still have to listen. The night of Pesach, as dark as it looks, seems outside, it is actually daytime. It is the middle of the day, not the middle of the night. In contrast to Tisha B'Av, where we have the reverse. It is the middle of the day, not the middle of the night, on the night of Pesach. If we go into the Seder with this focus, if we go into the Seder from the minute we say Kiddush, Kadesh Orchatz, we get up and we say Kiddush, if we go into it with the mindset that our goal is to present this evening as a daytime, we're gonna finish up, and we're going to be finished up, and we're going to say it is the middle of the day. I'll get to your question in just one moment. The halacha is, and this is very hard to do as well, that as late as the Seder goes, that one is obligated to continue discussing Pesach and the Exodus, ad shechatfaso shina, until sleep grabs him. The person's supposed to, instead of formally getting ready and going to bed, one is supposed to be involved in the discussion of the Seder until they fall asleep. Right? Why? What? It's not too hard at all. For most of us, it happens very easily. Right. It doesn't. It's very easy to do. But what's the purpose in that? Why? Because you don't formally go to bed during the day. During the day, you get tired, you take a nap. That's right. Or when you formally get in pajamas and go to bed, that's at night. But it's not nighttime at the Seder. It's daytime. So even though you're very tired, you should go to sleep as if it were daytime going to sleep. Well, you're in the middle of the night.
So how are we then to understand the Rabbanim of Bnei Brak? It says they were learning, they were discussing the Haggadah the whole night, and the students came to tell them it's time to Zman Shachris, you know, Shema Shachris. So
They for them it was day, the whole thing.
The whole
thing. And then went to sleep, yeah. Because it was daytime, the whole thing. Yes, Clara, go ahead.
So my question is, so when we're about to get ready for the Seder, it's getting, sun is setting, we'll light candles. What's on our minds here suggesting that we think that it's really not nighttime. That's what you're suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to keep that thought in mind. As we light candles, even though usually light candles,
we're lighting candles because we're starting the starting the holiday.
I don't believe it. Well, do we believe the sun sets? But it's still daytime.
Well, I'm not contradicting nature. The sun is setting. It is dark outside.
Right.
But conceptually, it's day. That's the thing. We treat it like it's the middle of the day.
We treat it as a concept.
Right. That's right. That's right. Everybody should have a chag kosher v'sameach, a happy and kosher holiday.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.